building, and that's an opportunity to be a warm, friendly face, to greet them, to tell them that you're glad that they came. We'd love to have them come and worship with us. Folks, that's evangelism right there. That's a simple evangelism 101, to greet others, to make them feel like that they are a unique person, that you care about them. And so as we have folks coming in here, as we have our meal that we'll eat, look for folks who are sitting by themselves, and that's an opportunity to go up and introduce yourself and welcome them and invite them to come to Crosstown. We'll have a table with some information as well that you can point them to. And that's all that what we're doing ultimately is pointing back to this focus, this mission of seeking and saving the lost. I know this eldership 100% wants everything that we do to ultimately tie back to the mission. And so point them over to the table with the information from the, they can get about the youth program, the children's ministry, information about the church, and invite them and make them feel welcomed as they're coming here this evening. Hope that you'll plan on being here for that at 5:30. Well, we are about halfway through our new, more than halfway through our New Testament challenge. Are you excited? All right. Are you excited because it's halfway over? Or are you excited because, man, look how much I've read of the New Testament in 5 weeks? And again, whether you've done every day's reading and all 5 straight weeks as we finish up today, the 5th week, I hope that you're being blessed by this exercise, that we as a church family are developing, cultivating some new spiritual habits. And that's why this New Testament challenge is kind of the heavy, hard instrument to kind of break up the hard ground of habits and to hopefully, in the coming weeks as we finish up the challenge, that you'll be engaging in the Word of God regularly on a weekly basis. And so each of the weeks we have different themes, and most of the themes really especially are seen in the New Testament letters. And so each day we're reading portions of the gospel story, and then we're reading from the New Testament letters. And so this past week was the theme of transformation. And so I'm trying to bring some lessons under each of these themes every week here in our series on the New Testament challenge. Well, he was never featured in the Christian Chronicle. He was never featured in Christianity Today. This was a gospel, this was a man who, a minister, preacher that never held big gospel meetings. He never packed in the audiences. He didn't write a book. They didn't send his sermons all over the world in CDs. He wasn't a big name lectureship speaker, anything like that. There was no acclaim, really, for this man. But Ron Ingram, some may know this man. Yeah. Ron Ingram was one of the most powerful gospel preachers, effective gospel preachers that I have ever met. I first met Ron in the summer of 2002 in prison. Now, let me explain. Are you awake this morning? Keenan, are they awake there? I tried to tell a joke a little bit and they didn't. It's going to be. I met him in prison. Did that get your attention? Okay, in 2002, in Boley, Oklahoma, near Prague, Oklahoma, at the John Lilly Correctional Facility, and I was asked to speak on a prison workshop, lectureship. And there was the first time I met Ron Ingram, this big old guy. I mean, he was a big old guy, gentle giant, though. And I got to hear his story, as there were 4 or 5 of us that spoke that day. I was able to go back the following year as well and speak in that on that prison workshop that day. And I was able to hear his story, though, for that first time. Ron served nearly 20 years in prison. He had a wife, he had 3 sons, he had a good-paying job. But Ron did not have a belief system to fall back on. And so in his life, he was easily led astray, and he got into some things and some sinful activities, and ultimately led him to prison. Again, he served nearly 20 years, I believe, at the Mac Alford prison in Atoka County. And but about halfway through his prison term, There was a Bible study that was being conducted by a member of the church named Ralph Hunter from Owosso. And there he was captivated by that and began a personal study with Ralph Hunter. And after several weeks and over a period of time, in February of 1988, Ron Ingram was baptized into Christ. And from that point on, his life was radically changed. He became a model inmate, prisoner. The other guards, the other prisoners were impressed by him. He began to take Bible correspondence courses from Sunset Bible Institute in Lubbock, Texas. He began to host Bible studies and have Bible studies in prison. And upon his release, the church, Southwest Church of Christ in Ada, Oklahoma, paid and sent Ron Ingram to Lubbock, Texas, where he for 2 years went through the Sunset Bible Institute program, graduated there, and in 1998 became a full-time prison minister for the Southwest Church of Christ, primarily serving four prison systems there in Atoka, Pontotoc, Atoka counties. And just an incredible life story of transformation. He passed away very suddenly at the age of 66 in 2010. But again, Ron Ingram, I mean, this man baptized so many people. He was so effective in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Eventually, his own wife and two of his sons were baptized into Christ because of his life. You know, when I think about Ron Ingram and I think about that story, I think about transformation. And that was a part of, again, the theme of our readings this past week. It's a major theme in the Bible. The word itself means to change in form, appearance, function, or condition, to change its nature or character. And I guess we are one of the most beautiful images we think about is the caterpillar, right? Who hasn't thought about that and heard those stories? And we even have songs that we teach our children about what God can do to that little bitty caterpillar, right? After he makes the caterpillar undergoes that metamorphosis, that transformation where it becomes the beautiful, all the different beautiful butterflies that we can see in God's creation. Well, the same type of transformation from the inside out is what God wants to see in us. Spiritually speaking, we might say transformation is to change in a person's character. And it's change that is affected because of what Jesus Christ has done, what God has done through Jesus Christ. That's where the transformation is able to come. What we're saying is, what the Bible says is that God's work through Jesus Christ is the catalyst for change spiritually in our life that makes us the kind of people that we can be in Christ. You know, one of the great passages that we read about this is in Ephesians chapter 2. We don't have time to read all of this, but Paul in the first 10 verses talks about how we've been made alive with Christ Jesus, how we were dead in our transgressions and our sins, in which you used to live, in which you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us at one time lived among them, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and our thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. I mean, he just gives us the spiritual diagnosis there. This is what we were outside of Christ. This is what we looked like. This is what we acted like. This is what we were trying to fulfill in our life. But then he says, but God, because of His great love for us and His mercy, made us alive even when we were, notice that, even when we were dead in our transgressions. Only God can make this kind of radical transformation to bring the spiritual dead back to life. You remember last Sunday morning, if you were here, we talked about reconciliation. How we go from being enemies to God of God. And remember two things I mentioned. Not only were we hostile towards God, but God was opposed to us as well in our sin. And God was able to change that relationship, bring about reconciliation through the cross of His Son. and we have that reconciliation. And as a result, we have a transformation. And that's what he goes on to say, that we're now living this way. We're not fulfilling the desires of our flesh. We're trying to be conformed now to the beautiful image of Jesus Christ. And you get over into chapter 4 of Ephesians, and he'll talk more about that as he expounds on that, how we're being made into the image of God's Son. Transformation. Powerful transformation. But what does this transformation exactly look like? What does it look like, practically speaking, in our lives? I mean, we want to go from the abstract, from the theoretical, if you will, from the theology of what Paul is saying in the first few chapters of Ephesians, to practically speaking, what does it look like for a Christian to be transformed? Well, again, in our scripture readings, if you've been reading at all this past week from Ephesians, from Philippians, from Colossians, we call the prison epistles. We read some of the most practical verses there about what transformation looks like in the life of a Christian. And I want to do something this morning. I don't do this often in my lessons. I don't want you to think, well, did Robert not really prepare much this week, and so we're just going to read a bunch of scriptures. But I want us this morning to actually take the time, and we're going to read God's Word this morning. Because I think it's more important to hear what God says what transformation looks like than what I might say, okay? Let's hear what God says about transformation. Because these aren't passages that involve a lot of we got to figure out what does he mean by this? What does he... No, it is pretty practical, to the point. This is what it means and looks like to be transformed in Jesus Christ. And so we're going to have three different readers that are going to come up here in just a moment. And are going to read some lengthy scriptures here. Have them in the outline of your bulletin there. But as we read this, I want you to think about two things as we read this. Two questions. First, I want you to identify and look for ways in which you have been transformed. As we read through these scriptures, I want you to think about, hey, God has done that and is doing that in my life right now. I used to be this, but now God is doing this in my life. Look for that transformation in your life. And then secondly, I want you to identify some areas where you need to let God continue to transform in you, your life. Areas where you need improvement. You need growth in your Christian walk. And these are some areas where you need to be allowing God to transform you from the inside out. Again, we're going to have three readings. The first will be Ephesians 4. And I'm going to have them up on the screen as well, but follow along in your Bibles. Some of the different readers will have different translations, but the first one's going to be by Roger Bentley, Ephesians 4, and then the second reader will be Jerry Buchanan out of Philippians 2, and then our final reader will be Keenan Metters from Colossians chapter 3. And so at this time, Roger will come up, and he'll read the first scripture, and then followed by Jerry and Keenan.
This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentile walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of the mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. An offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither fitting or filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God."
If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which we heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also come, as it also has in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit as it is among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is above all things, and in him all things consist.
Let's pick up in chapter 3 of Colossians and listen to what Paul continues to say, and beginning in verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all these things, all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, or circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And above all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. As you teach, admonish one another, and admonish one another with all psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whatever in word, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, you read these scriptures and you hear these scriptures and appreciate these men and appreciate us hopefully taking the time to hear what God has to say about transformation. And it's real simple there. You know, you read these scriptures and it becomes real clear, especially the first one that Roger read, there needs to be a change in our action. And basically, you know, you can take what Paul is saying there in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through chapter 5, into chapter 5. And he's telling us there that as a Christian, you cannot live like the world any longer. You're not to live this way. God has brought about a change in you, a transformation, and you're now being renewed in the image of God's Son. And he mentions all the things specifically that we're to be putting off. Sexual immorality and greed and covetousness and filthy talk and all these things of impurity. And we're to be putting on the new man in the likeness of God and in the beauty of God's character. And then, you know, the second scripture that Jerry read for us is really a change in our attitude. We no longer are self-centered. We no longer are me-centered. We're now thinking about others. We are other-centered. Not looking out for the interest of our own, but for the interest of others also. You know, we live in a very me-centered culture, very self-seeking, selfish culture. And you know, when we see that in others who have that kind of attitude, it's not very attractive. If you're around someone who's always focused on themselves and that's all that really matters, after a while, that gets pretty old pretty quick and it's not very pretty to be around. But here we're to have the attitude of Christ, which was other-centered, serving others. Have that attitude or mind which was in Christ Jesus. And Paul says we need to develop that kind of attitude with humility in how we see and deal with others. And then that third one is our aspiration has changed as well. We're now seeking those things which are above and not on things of the earth. And there he's not saying, don't ever think about anything on the earth. Of course he's not saying that. We have to think about things on the earth. We have jobs, we have obligations, we have responsibilities, we have family. He's not saying don't ever think about things on the earth, but our goal and our aim is to do the things of God. That's our focus. That's our agenda. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. You know, as we think about this theme of transformation, I want to mention two things there in the last two points there on our outline sheet that are important for us to think about. The first one is simply that my transformation is my testimony. My transformation is my testimony. You know, we read and we hear about stories like I just shared with you about Ron Ingram, who went from a prisoner to a preacher, and we think, well, I don't have any kind of dramatic transformation like that in my life. Wait a minute. God knows your story, though. He knows what you've been and where you've been. And yeah, maybe you weren't in prison like Ron Ingram was, but you have a story of transformation. What has God done in your life? Where has God taken you from and now brought you to a new place, a new attitude, new actions, new aspirations? That's what God is doing and has done in your life. That's your story. You know, I love the scripture that in Philippians chapter 2. Notice what Paul says in Philippians 2 and verse 14 through 16. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Do not do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become, notice what he says, blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. You see what Paul says? Our lives are being transformed in such a way by Jesus Christ that we stand out. We stand out like stars in the universe. We stand out brightly. This kind of transformation, what God has done for us. You know, in our culture today, let me tell you, pictures are more powerful than words. You know that we are an image-driven culture. And let me tell you what our culture needs to see. They need to not so much hear Christians who are standing out and just shouting, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. They need to see it. They need to see a picture of what a transformed life looks like. all of the, you know, a lot of the studies in church growth has been showing the signs there that Christians are practically speaking overall not living much any different than people who are not Christians. And that is an indictment against people of faith. When people see us as Christians, they ought to see a change. And they don't care how much you talk about your God and your Savior and your church and how you love to worship and how you have Christian music in your car. If they don't see it in your life, it's just words. Our culture doesn't want anything to do with that sort of thing. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them. I wouldn't want it anything to do with that. And so as the church, as Christians, we're to be shining as stars in a universe. We stand out, and our culture needs that desperately to see Christians who not just in their words, but in their actions demonstrate what the gospel can do in their life. That is a powerful testimony. Powerful testimony. You know, I still remember, I know so many of you do probably, that Sunday on Easter morning when we were here on Easter Sunday, and the stage was just lined up with several of our members that were doing the cardboard testimony. You remember that, don't you? What their board on one side of the cardboard used to say, and then they turned it over and could see what God had done in their life. That is the power of our testimony. That is so effective in reaching people today that they see the gospel has transformed us in our life. But secondly, a key with our transformation is the depth of our transformation is only going to run as deep as our submission to Christ. Did you notice that in several of those scriptures? You submit to the Lord Jesus. Jesus as Lord. We acknowledge Him with our mouth and our tongues confess. We're talking about our submission to Jesus Christ as Lord. I think if we're honest with ourselves this morning, for some of us, maybe we're not seeing that kind of transformation in our life because we're not letting Jesus rule our life. We're still trying to call the shots. We're still trying to live our life how we think really best. And the message of the Scriptures is Jesus is not only our Savior, we like that, but He is Lord. He is the Master. He is the One. And we need to be looking a hard look at ourselves in the mirror. And we need to be seeing in those areas, as I asked you to look at, think about, where do I need improvement? Where do I need to let God continue to work His powerful transformation in my life? Is it in my words? Is it in my attitude? Is it in my actions? Only you know that this morning. Only you can look in the deep parts of your heart and your life and see that. And, you know, we need to let the Word of God be that instrument which God can transform us from the inside out. You know, I always love the Scripture in Hebrews chapter 4. The Hebrew writer says about the Word of God, it's such a powerful Scripture about the power of God's Word in verse 12 of Hebrews 4. For the Word of God is alive. It's active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Notice what it does. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God's Word is like an instrument. It's like a sharp knife. And let the Word of God penetrate you. Let the Word of God stab you spiritually. I use those kind of graphic language to... We need to let the Word of God be used upon us so that God can open us up. God can show us who we really are, our thoughts, our hearts, our intentions, our actions. You know, that's one of the great things I just with this New Testament challenge is we're hopefully letting God go to work on us. And whether you're doing every day's reading or not, I believe any reading is profitable reading. And so don't sell yourself short. Don't say, well, you know, I've only done some of the readings. I've missed some days. I've missed some weeks. Any reading we do as a church, we're letting God transform us and work on us spiritually. And so that's where we hear the voice of God. That's where we hear the voice of our Savior, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus would say, if you want to be my disciples, John 8:31 and 32, You must abide in my word. We've got to abide in the word and let God transform us and change us in our life. You know, again, I hope this morning as we heard these scriptures read and we followed along that you see the transformation. Not only what God has done in your life, but what God is continuing to do in your life. And maybe hopefully you see some areas where you need to continue to let God improve and change you. Because we're not a finished product yet, right? Amen. God is still working on us. I know maybe some folks might think that they're perfect already, but no, we know better, right? They're not perfect. And let God work on us and change us and transform us more from the inside out. Well, that begins, of course, by being in Christ Jesus. That transformation begins, as Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. God can transform us. We can go from death to life. We can go from craving the desires of the flesh to craving the things of God. That's a new transformation. That's a new resurrection, a new life. God can do that in Christ. We do that when our obedience to the gospel, putting Jesus on in the waters of baptism. Jesus will meet us there. God will meet us there in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. As we submit in the waters of baptism, we're raised up to walk in newness of life. Have you done that this morning? If you haven't, you're outside of Christ according to the Scriptures. Maybe as a Christian you've done that, but you're still living like the world. You're still being controlled by the desires of your flesh. That's winning out the day in your life. Maybe you need to come and make some changes this morning, ask for prayers, make a public statement of repentance. We would pray with you and for you as we have this song now as we sing.
Without Him I could do nothing.